The first reading is taken, or is Psalm 138. Psalm 138. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Before the gods I will sing your praise. I will bow down toward your holy temple and will praise your name for your unfailing love and your faithfulness. For you have so exalted your solemn decree that it surpasses your fame. When I called, you answered me. You greatly emboldened me. May all the kings of the earth praise you, Lord, when they hear what you have decreed. May they sing of the ways of the Lord, for the glory of the Lord is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he looks kindly on the lowly. Though lofty, he sees them from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand you save me. The Lord will vindicate me. Your love, Lord, endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hands.
The second reading is Psalm 130. It's 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, keep a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can, with reverence, serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord. More than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, tonight we've sung about you. We've sung about your sacrifice. We've sung, dear Lord, about who and what you are and how we should worship. Tonight, dear Lord, we desire to worship you through your word and ask that you would come and speak to us. Your Holy Spirit, touch us where we need to be touched, dear Lord. Heal us where we need to be healed. Encourage us where we need to be encouraged. Rebuke us, dear Lord, where we need to be rebuked. Cuddle us when we need that comfort and that blessing. Will you speak to us, dear Lord, we desire. Come amongst us now, dear Lord, we would ask. For it says in your word, dear Lord, without the Holy Spirit, your word brings death, spiritual death, because we fail to understand and feel condemned. But with your spirit, it brings life, change and blessing, and we seek that tonight, Lord. We seek that. Would he come amongst us? We ask this in Christ Jesus' name, God's people said, Lord. Well, thank you for inviting me here today. I say we get such a blessing from you as a church, and we thank you that you invite us. We feel honoured and privileged to come amongst you. In a certain town, at a certain time, there had been no revival for many years. The church itself that inhabited the town, they only had the one, had nearly run out. Few people attended. A couple of children came to that place on the rare special occasion. The people in the area were unconverted. Spiritual desolation reigned. The church was not an oasis of belief in a desert of disbelief. It should have been a home in the middle of homelessness. and rather being full of the water of spiritual life, life had become dry and brittle, and all life had emptied from it. The church was in danger of being covered, of becoming covered by the sand of the desert of disbelief and death. They had no faith, and this meant no miracles. And the church waited for change. Fortunately for them, God wanted to change this. Now, in that town where that church was, lived an old blacksmith. And he stammered so badly, it was painful to hear him speak. At work one day, he became so greatly burdened about this church, he stopped work. His agony became so great that he locked the door that one afternoon and he got on his knees before his forge and prayed. Following that evening, that afternoon of prayer, he called a church meeting for all those who remained who were interested. He himself had no hope to offer. But he still called the meeting anyway. And when the evening came, the room, to his surprise, was full. And all who were there, who were present, because there was no singing, there was no playing of instruments, silence reigned. And time went on as they were there together, until one sinner broke out in tears that ran down his face, and he begged if someone would pray, would someone pray for him? He sobbed, surely someone would pray for him. And as soon as those tears flowed, others followed. And this blacksmith prayed for those people. In his stammering, he prayed for those people. And once that prayer had started, and once those tears had flowed, and once the people had recognized who and what they are, were for God, every quarter of that town poured into that church as the deep conviction of that time, of that time of prayer, which began with that blacksmith at the kneeling at his forge. And because of that, a wondrous revival followed. And that church and that village changed. I think that's something that we all would desire, isn't it? But like this morning, while Christ had to pay a cost for each individual, each one of us, and while we have to pay a cost of surrendering to him, are we willing to come before the Lord and say, this is who and what I am, so that we might break through, that we may lift our level of relationship with God? I don't know about you, but are you satisfied with that relationship that you have currently? Do you desire to have something more? I know in my life I do. Is your relationship with God fresh and exciting, and you can't wait for what each day brings with him? Or is it stale? And you expect nothing, because that's how the years have been. And it's always the same. Do you believe that perhaps God has moved from you and is in the next town or city? Yet this is what it says in his word. When I called, you answered me. You made me bold and stout-hearted. This psalm is written by David. Now, this may seem like a stupid question, but who is he calling to? The question to ask is, who and what is God to him? Why should we call to him? What level of being should we have with him? Do you feel that even though you're a Christian, you have something still missing in your life? A vitality, a spark, a purpose, some form of power that you should have, and it still isn't in your life, that you're searching for, you're scrabbling for? Do you still have a hole inside of you that you're trying to fill, and you're waiting for it to be filled? Let me ask you a question of the men who are here tonight. Are you bold and stout-hearted? Are you warriors for God? Do you roam the streets around here hunting for souls for Christ? Or is the world made you weak and timid? And you hide behind the skirts of your womenfolk rather than be the men that you're destined to be? You see, God desires you should be men who rescue the children, who rescue the women who need to come to this place, the lost souls, those who are in anguish, those who are being devoured by the world. Are you standing up for them? Are you praying for them? Are you coming before that ford and saying to the Lord, would you save them? Lord, we're praying for them. Lord, we desire them to be forgiven, so they might come with tears through the doors of this place, that they would flow down and they would say, would someone pray for me? Would someone pray for me? Perhaps you men here tonight, has someone prayed for you? Has anyone prayed for you? You women here tonight, you handmaidens of the Lord, you rush in to protect and tend those souls that the men of your church have captured so that they might be bandaged up and helped, and you've allowed them to heal. You come before those who are brokenhearted and have been consumed by the world in terrible ways, and have you got something in your hands to offer them? To say, this is what the Lord has done for me, and this is what can do for you. This is what he can offer you, this love, this peace, this grace. This help, this suffering. You leaders here, do you recognize those amongst you who God has chosen here to be warriors, those who guard, those who are able to gather and fight? Do you enable them? Those who are able to be healers, teachers, and makers of a home. Look at this world in desperate need of a home. A place to come which is safe and secure. I mean, we've all seen it in our press, haven't we? Of what the church has done to itself. It's the way they've abused those amongst the church, whether they're children or adults. And you wonder why people do not and no longer trust the church. Are you amongst you healers and teachers and makers of a home where people can come to be safe and secure? Are you able to encourage and enable and build and support? Or do you yourselves feel bereft of all these things? Do you feel that, how can I go on? I need someone to place all that in my mind. Tonight I'd like to pray for you and encourage you. If you feel that you're at the end of the road, then allow God to carry you a while, to provide you with power and grace, to enable you to be bold and stout-hearted, to enable him to fight for you that perhaps you've been fighting on your own, that you no longer have to do, and recognize the resources and power that he has, that he can place in your life to encourage you and heal that which is broken in your lives. And pour his love to change your love and encourage the love that you should have. Who is David calling to? You know, our God has many names, and the names that we have from him provide us with a glimpse, a beginning of understanding of who and what God is and should be to us. We've sung about many of his names tonight. God, majesty, mightiness, unchanging love, the one who brought order out of chaos. His personal name, which is Yahweh. God is loving and righteous, and therefore he judges evil. God Almighty was able to carry out his own will and purpose. El, which is translated into God and primarily means might or power, most high God. For he is the creator and we are his created. Nothing is above him and everything is below him. Everlasting God, God of the age who reveals himself to persons he works in time to help us understand him and how to serve him. Shepherd, the word, Father, mercy, glory, light, I am. Love and living God, Father, Son and Holy Spirit. These are just a few of the names. If you ever do a Bible study on the names of God, there's 948 in God's word. You see, this is whom we worship, the one we are to be close with, the one who brings revival amongst us, him who gave himself so that you might have life and life more abundantly. I don't know about you, but I know in my life, sometimes, especially in work and times of family trials and tribulations, currently having work done in the house, and Dawn will tell you, what was it? I did something silly last Wednesday. It was a year Wednesday, well, it was on a Tuesday a year ago, that I had my first problem with my heart. And on that Wednesday, I was loading stuff off a lorry, which I shouldn't have done, and I almost ended up back in hospital. But that could take so much out of our life. We can feel overwhelmed. If you look at the names of God and who and what he is, he can come into our lives and provide the healing that we need. He can come in and provide the love that we so desire. He can come in and provide the peace. The peace because of who and what he is. I hope tonight that you're able to tap into those things from him because he loves you. This is whom we are to worship, the one who we're supposed to be close to, who will bring revival amongst us, who gave himself so that we might have life and life more abundantly, rather than like this world which lives in darkness. I wonder tonight if you have this life and life in abundance. Because it says, when I called you, you answered me, you made me bold and stout-hearted. I know there's been much talked and prayed and the world cried in out for Wales. But many misunderstand the word revival. What does it mean? Simply put, it's the reanimation of God's people. And revival, while talked about and perhaps prayed about, is seldom sought by the church because they fail to understand it. Because of that, they can't gain strength from it. You saw in that description, that story of that one church. How did it begin? It began with a blacksmith who decided to pray. And because he decided to pray, the town in which he lived, that village, came together. But what did the people do? They sobbed. It's something. It's ascended and pray? Ask that question. Is anybody praying? When revival does come, or we get a glimpse of it, we seem to run away, the church I'm talking about here. Because when God appears, he brings change. When God is in control, rather than people feeling joy, it terrifies them. So God keeps away. Do we really want my presence? If you want to see something that it's like, I'm sure all of you have access to the internet. Look up Steve Hill, the Brownsville Revival. You see, the consequence of our rejection of God is the church becomes barren. Revival requires prayer. If you wonder what prayer is, it's communication with God. It sounds simple, doesn't it? But if you look at our families and our close relationships, even amongst leaderships and fellowships, if we don't communicate with each other, what happens? We break and we get misunderstanding. It becomes difficult. We don't understand what's going on in people's minds. If you want to be close to the ones that you love, you have to communicate. You have to communicate. And communication with God isn't all one way. Lord, this is my list. And children coming before Christmas opens the Argos catalogue and say, I want that, and 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 I want that. God asks us to pray at all times. And the reason is that he wants to communicate with us as well. He wants to speak to us. If we don't communicate with God, we become barren because there's no expectancy or intimacy between us. We see that in our story. All were present, and silence reigned for a time until one sinner broke out in tears and begged if anyone would pray, that someone prayed for him. He sought for someone to pray for him. Are we able to do this for each other? Prayer means communication with him, the one who formed you. Have you forgotten him? Or have you just kept that list? It's so easy to forget God, to be so busy, to put him to one side. Because he's no longer close to us. We don't hear his whisper. And as with any friendship or love affair, it dies because we no longer communicate. If God can't communicate with us, how can we respond to him so he can respond to us? How do we rekindle this? We first come to Christ. We ask for him to forgive us. We perhaps ask for someone to pray with us. But we also need to be baptized in the power of the Holy Spirit. If you don't know the Holy Spirit, then your life is barren. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't maintain a relationship with God. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't be a Christian. Without the Holy Spirit, then God's word is a closed book to you. Without the Holy Spirit, how can you maintain your relationship with God via prayer? Because it's his Spirit that communicates with us. We need the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit. This church needs the Holy Spirit. This world needs the Holy Spirit. We need to increase our faith. If you have this relationship with God, faith means to have belief in trust. And you must have belief and trust in Christ Jesus. If you have a desire for salvation, a desire to see others come to know him, then you have to have belief and know what our God will do. Jesus tells us, men ought always to pray and not faint. If you're not praying, then you have fainted. Now the word faint means this, to cave in, to break down. Is that what happened in your prayer life? You know, we can pray about things, we desire something to take place, we want something to happen. And perhaps it goes on for year after year after year, but Christ says, do not faint, but rather communicate with me the desires which are upon your heart. They have to be desires. What a wish list. Desires. What do you really want? Because that's how Christ wants to respond to you. What do you really want? What do you really desire as individuals, as a fellowship, as a church? What's burning inside of you? What do you cry out? It's like that man who begged for someone to pray for him. What do you go to God to beg? Say, Lord, would you be involved in this? Lord, I desire you. I wish a change in my life. I wish to be bold and stout-hearted. I wish to feel the power of you in your right hand that you would place in my life. What do you desire of him? As individuals, as a fellowship, as a church. Men always ought always to pray and never faint. You see, life, our life comes from Jesus. And if you know this life, then you know that you have to go back to that well of life again and again. Now, if your prayer life is useless and inconsistent or non-existent, then it means that you've caved in and broke down. Ask us to change. In America, it always seems to happen in America, doesn't it? There was a gentleman called Dr. F. William Chapman, and he was an evangelistic preacher. And he announced this, that he was going to talk on Sunday evening on a subject of the greatest sin in America. Now this stirred people's curiosity. And that night the church was packed. Everyone came to hear about this great sin. Speculation was rife. What was this sin going to be? Perhaps it was murder, adultery, rape, alcohol, drugs, or some other big sin. What do you think he preached on? The prayerlessness of the Americans. Every great revival within the church is accompanied by prayer. Every revival on record is bathed in prayer. Isn't it about time that we all had a bath? We need the revival of intercessory prayer amongst God's people. Not to pay lip service to prayer. And that isn't a pen. We need to treat it with reverence and have desire in our prayer. Say that passion that's inside of us, like those songs that we've sung here this evening. And because of that, we shouldn't be afraid of the power of those prayers. It says this, though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. We sometimes feel that the world is crashing down into our lives. We cannot control our situation or feelings. Yet it says this in John 16, in the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This evening, this week, this month, do you want to be revived? Do you want to be reanimated? We have seen that our God is prepared to revive those who are prepared to confess their spiritual failure, their prayerlessness, their fear and barrenness. God transforms people. He gives them purpose, and because of that, they become fruitful. And the blessings of God are plain to see. That's it. Person in you. I wonder if you'll pray this with me right now. If you pray it out loud, but are you willing to pray this? Lord, revive me. Lord, revive us. Lord, revive your church. Lord, revive this land. Not for our glory, but for your glory. You do that. Lord, we despair at the souls going to hell. Rather than filling heaven, our young people, those who are old, those who are middle-aged, Lord, would you make us bold and steadfast? I walk in the midst of trouble. You preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the anger of my foes. With your right hand, you save me. Lord, in this world of tribulation, allow us to be of good cheer, because you have overcome.